Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What up, boys and girls? Welcome to another edition of DL Gaming Podcast.
Not just any edition. This is technically our two-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. Just dropping the bomb on me. I didn't know that. Happy 2-year anniversary. I got you all a cake.
2 years.
But it's actually a lie.
Well, actually, 2 years, but we had, we brought it up before that we had a couple episodes that we didn't air, and it turns out we do have the
now we don't.
We have the one where Emilio and I just go through all the Smite gods, I mean, as of like 2013, and I listen to it, and it's pretty terrible, but it's not all Emilio's fault. I think back then, before or when we had first started, we were just trying to do as much of this as possible so we could get good at it, and I think we've come a long way.
We learned through trial and error. And we're still doing a lot of errors, but we're still learning.
Yeah, I know. We used to say all the time and like and cut each other off constantly. I mean,
used to pee 4 times every episode.
We haven't done that
now. You're
since
down to 3.
We haven't done that since last episode.
Yeah. All right, we're going to start off with Question the News. It's one of our favorite segments. We're going to bring up a news article, then we're going to bring up a question tangentially related to it. Sometimes it is sort of related to it, sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch. I'm going to start off. So Kotaku updated their top 12 PC games of all time. They kind of have a running list, and every couple months they kind of change theirs out. I'm not going to go through the full 12, but I am going to go through and just tell you guys what has changed, and I'm going to ask you guys, first of all, if you agree or disagree. So they removed Counter-Strike GO, Minecraft, and Pillars of Eternity, and they added Metal Gear Solid 5, Undertale, and Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition. They had a Divinity Original Sin. They took it off a while ago, put it back with the Enhanced Edition. What do you think? You guys in favor of drop and go Minecraft and Pillars of Eternity for Metal Gear Solid 5, Undertale, and Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition?
Although I'm not into Minecraft or CSGO, I do feel like those are pretty monumental games.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because they have some games that, like, I'm a little surprised that are still, I mean, Heroes of the Storm they have on there as their top, and I know Bobby would be all for that, but
yeah.
As far as MOBA games, Heroes of the Storm as the best, I'm not sure about that, and they still have Total War Shogun 2 there, which is a game...
That's supposed to be the best one, right? I've heard that Shogun 2's...
I don't know, but is the best Total War considered a best top 12 of all time? I don't know.
See, I feel like they were trying to get all the different categories of games in there. Like,
yeah, that's what I feel
CSGO,
like too.
I feel like, yeah, that's probably the best symmetrical shooter. You know, TF2, I feel like, should have been in that list.
But they don't really have a shooter anymore now that they took GO off.
Yeah, that is odd. Divinity Original Sin, I do agree with that. What was the other one? Minecraft?
CSGO and Undertale. Pillars of Eternity they removed.
And see, I don't know anything about that game.
That was a good game. I own the game. I just never had a chance to play it as much as I wanted to. But I could say the same thing about Divinity Original Sin. But, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
That's a perfect thing, too. Because I think our takeaway from that is the biggest problem with Pillars of Eternity is that Divinity Original Sin exists.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everything that one has, but done better, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of people. So that was a perfect one. I kind of feel like Minecraft and Undertale were interchangeable. They're both horrendous graphics, but that's not the strong point. And so they're kind of interchangeable there.
The only reason I would say that it's okay to take Minecraft off, obviously it's a huge game, a sensation, but it is available on every platform known to Earth, including mobile. Yeah. So I'm okay kind of taking it off. If this is a PC list, and I'm okay, you know, taking one of these multi-platform ones off.
They might have chose that, too, because it started out as something exclusive to the PC.
Yeah. exactly.
But when I think of the best PC games, I'm thinking of games that I'm going to look back on years and years from now and say, yeah, that was a really good game. Like Civilization V is on this list. And I recently played Civ V about 2 weeks ago with some friends. And I hadn't played that game in years. And just playing it, getting into it, just that little bit I did for that one night, I was like, wow, this really is a good game. Like, this is a game I could jump into at any point in time and have a really, really enjoyable experience.
Whatever night that was, I think you went to bed and David is when he just kept playing. He was playing at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Really? That's one of those games where it's just one more turn.
Yeah, it sucks.
Going and going.
Did you play it, Jeff?
Civ 5? No.
Yeah.
But one of our favorite games from last year was Endless Legend, mm-hmm. and that game sucked me in.
And I'm really interested to play that game, too, because Beyond Earth came out, the new Civ game, yeah. and a lot of people were excited for it. But I was like, even though I haven't played Beyond Earth, I'm like, how do you top Civ 5? Like, that's just way too hard to follow up. There's mm-hmm. no way.
That and it was a letdown for most.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But I wonder how much of that was that Civ 5 was just so good.
Yeah.
If that came out instead of Civ 5, I think it would have been kind of seen differently. It would be like, oh, this is there's a big step from Civ 4. So, yeah, this is awesome. But yeah. Civ 5 came out, and then a weaker game came out.
Yeah.
Right? It might be better than Civ 4, but it's no Civ 5.
Yeah. Well, I got a... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, franchises peak sometimes. You know, it happens.
I got a tangential question. That's my word of the day, by the way, tangential.
That just means to hold your orgasm, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm doing right now, by the way. So, related to this 12 best on PC, they also list 24 best classics. That includes games like Doom and all these other ones. But there's a couple that are I've never played before and I haven't heard much about. So I'm going to ask Bobby, because Bobby's the one that's played all these classic games. Yeah, we'll if he's see. Played it and if he thinks it's one of the 24, I got a couple of these. Okay, Bobby?
Okay.
First one, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
I've not played it.
Okay. Heroes.
Wait, did he? You play that one?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking something completely different.
Next one, Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Have not played it.
Okay. The Longest Journey.
Oh, yeah, that game.
That one's way old school, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? I played that game after the fact, like not when it was out and fresh and new. Right. And everyone will say like, oh yeah, that's a great game. It's amazing. And I went back and played it and it, you know, just didn't hold up for me, but I had no nostalgia about it. They're the same people that made that made a newer game, which is basically a newer version of it though, that I hear is good.
That's kind of like missed for me. Like I played that back in the day and was blown away. And then I ended up buying the remake version of it, and I played for like half an hour. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why am I playing this? Two more. No One Lives Forever. Did you ever play a game?
No.
And the last one, Quest for Glory, So You Want to Be a Hero.
No.
Okay.
Where are they getting these games?
These are on their 24 top classics of all time.
This is your homework, Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm interested to check those out, but I don't know why they picked some of these games when there's like a lot of other games that I consider to be landmarks in PC gaming, you know, a lot of
Jedi
stuff
Master.
From id. Yeah, you know.
Jedi Academy 2.
Yeah, as much as I liked Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, Dark Forces was basically a ripoff of Doom. You know, they took the engine, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, let's do this with Star Wars now. And, you know, that was that.
It's more so like a mod from more recent times.
So I give more credit to, Dark Forces 1 was basically a ripoff of Doom. Dark Forces 2 was basically a ripoff of Quake, or Quake 2. So I give a lot more credit to those.
Which was kind the original of a ripoff games. Of Wolfenstein, right?
They did a lot more with... I think around Quake 2, that's when they went into the whole 3D.
Yeah, Quake 2 was a monster.
Huge jump. Huge jump. Like
You actually felt like you're in a 3D
exactly,
space.
Yeah,
and they did some new stuff with lighting. Yeah, it was a technological jump.
I think I've brought this up before, but Quake 2, I used to, on a disc that came with PC Gamer or something, was something that you could boot up to play the demo that would play before you started the game. It would play like a demo, like not a demo, but it would play as if somebody else was playing, and you could boot it up. And it was somebody's speed run through all of Quake 2.
Oh, with the rocket jumping?
With rocket jumping and everything like that. And I would just watch this dude play. It blew my mind back in the day.
Those are the best speed runs to watch.
Yeah.
Doom and Quake speed runs.
Exactly.
I feel like that was before they were using glitches.
Oh, yeah, that's
glitching
true.
Is like an accepted way of doing it now.
Yeah, it's practically the only way.
So, Kentucky Route Zero was on there. What is that? Does anybody know what that
is? I got that game, and I heard very good things about it, and I just have never got around to play it.
I played that for about an hour because it doesn't have a high... It doesn't take a big rig to run it, so I can play it on my work laptop. So I played it for like an hour. It's interesting. It's all 2D. You know, it's flat screen, very artistically done, and it's kind of got RPG elements to it. Very
It's an episodic game, isn't it?
No, it's just one as far as I'm aware.
Looks a little like War of Mine.
Yeah, it does kind of look. But you travel and do stuff. Hmm. It was good for the little I played it, but I didn't really get a chance to get too much into it.
And then it hooked you up, apparently.
Well, yeah. It's not been that good, then.
Yeah. Apparently made the top 12 on somebody's list.
Well, so. Chad hates a lot of stuff.
Hate's good. Then you know when you love something, it's actually love. Unlike you, who loves everything, so you don't know if you actually like it or not.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
It made sense to me. All right. Somebody else tell their
All right. Their you want to go next, Emilio?
Sure. A couple big... Well, a big mod came out for Star Wars Battlefront. I don't know actually if it's completely out because I figured there would be way more videos of it. Mostly I saw screenshots and just one video. I would think there would be a lot more, yeah. Especially for the press that it's been getting.
It's been getting a ton.
Yeah.
And well-deserved.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy, Teddy Hans, made a mod that...
Toddy, I think. Toddy Hanser.
He fucked around with the lighting and some saturations of the colors. And he took what I formerly said was a near photorealistic game and pretty much got there. I mean, it looks like real, like at least like watching a movie.
I actually showed these images to all my family in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like non-game, my parents, my aunts and uncles and my cousins and all. Yeah. They were all blown away. Like a few of them could not believe that was not actual real, people. Like live.
You know, they had the footage, or I'm sorry, they had the photos and I saw those and I really was skeptical because as I've said before, screenshots can be very deceiving. They did have some video on YouTube. And yeah, it looks good. It really does look good. It's weird to see something so photorealistic in the context of a video game. It, for some reason, to me, it hits me as like those old FMV games back in the day. Like, I feel like I'm watching Sewer Shark or something on Sega CD. Just seeing something so...
Night Stalker.
Movie-like. Yeah, nice. Wasn't that the one that got pulled off the shelves for having...
That was before the ESRB was around.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. There was a couple sections in there that... Yeah, exactly what you tell. It's kind of a... It's funny. It's realistic, but it feels surreal. Like you see just that one or 2 seconds that looked absolutely real during the video, and you're like, what the... It tricks your eye for a second, and then you go back into watching a video game.
And I think they have an easier time with making things photorealistic because, as you said once before, I think it was you, Emilio, it's easier to make photorealistic things out of cars, out of machines, than it is people and faces.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why it's all stormtroopers.
Yeah, right? And you have stormtroopers, and you know you see some of the rebels' skin on their neck or on perhaps their face. I think they have visors, but not a whole lot of actual people in this. So I think they get away with it a little bit easier than most games would.
For sure. And then the other thing is Gopher, which is this like British dude that explains modding for the Nexus. I don't know if he works for the Nexus, but they always link his stuff directly. And he did his new video on how to mod for Fallout 4. It's pretty much the same thing as modding for Fallout for Skyrim, but there's a couple of little things. Anyway, this guy is really, really good and really, really meticulous, almost to a fault where he's just kind of dry and the way he speaks kind of bothers most people. But he does really, really good videos. And so if you just go, if you're wondering how to mod, I mean, anybody can do this. He even puts it... All you have to do is copy and paste two lines into two directories, basically, on the right spots, and then you're pretty much up and running. So just go to Skyrim... or Fallout Nexus and... Fallout 4 Nexus, and then watch that video, and just go by step by step. Even if it sounds confusing at first, back it up till you get it right. And then within 5 minutes, you can be modding, pretty much. It's almost exactly like Skyrim. Then when you incorporate that with the Fallout 4 Nexus, all you have to do is pretty much click on something, wait for it to download, enable it, and then run your game, and then you have it running. So,
do you have a question out of this?
Are you guys finally going to mod?
Is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it?
Of course it's worth it.
Well, at this point,
5 minutes?
Well, at this point, there's not a whole lot of mods right now.
Yeah, the modding tools aren't out, but there's probably 100 or 200 mods already. So
okay.
If there's something that bothers you,
are these like EMBs similar to Skyrim?
I haven't seen an EMB yet, but there's things that do change coloring,
okay,
like slightly.
Tell you what, when you find a good Fallout 4 mod and you think I should...
Like a must-have?
Yeah, must-have, you let me know. I will put it on mine. Now that I got a rig that should be able to run it, I will do it.
And Bob, you have no game
well,
to
I've
mod.
Even played the game vanilla, yeah. So I really only care about mods that enhance the visuals of the game. I don't know. If I play a lot of a game, then yeah, I'm looking for something a little different, something new, something I can mod and change and have a little more fun with because I'm just bored of the game by itself. But in most cases, like the only way I see myself doing this is if I got Fallout 4, I started playing it, and I wanted to have, you know, better textures, better skyboxes, stuff like that. I do enjoy that stuff. Like Left 4 Dead 2, ton of mod support for that game. And really, the only ones I ever use are just the ones that make the game look better.
Or turn people into dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's a good one. But that stuff wears off. Our Futurama characters.
Yeah, there was another. Yeah.
Aliens, right?
Oh, yeah. Aliens, the common infected. Actually, I think they were stormtroopers last time I was playing.
When they get the naked mod, I will add that. And when they turn Deathclaws...
They have bigger tits mod already.
When they turn Deathclaws into dildo hands, I will definitely get that mod. You let me know when those two come out. Because they are coming.
Oh, the first one that I might have messed it up because I downloaded it super quick. But the first one that I downloaded was better ground. Like the ground is one of the ugliest things in this game.
Yeah, you've never been high on the graphics on this game. And I just haven't played as many games as you have. But the graphics seem good to me.
Skyrim and Fallout
New Vegas.
But that's
heavily modded.
Both look better than Fallout 4. Even New Vegas looks better than Fallout 4.
But the heavily modded New Vegas, not the...
Right.
So you're comparing apples to oranges. I don't know.
Still, but I could be playing those games with those graphics right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
I saw somewhere that somebody's modding the original Fallout into Fallout New Vegas. So I never
played the whole game?
The whole game, yeah.
Gotcha.
Similar. And that was a top-down
game. That's right.
And they're making it all fully 3D. Last thing. So this ground mod, whatever... It's supposed to make the textures, from the videos that I saw, it makes the textures seem a lot crisper or whatever, pop out. Whatever he did, he's using one-fourth the processing power as the vanilla game.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So not only do the floors look better, but it's going to be running better, too.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's just like, why didn't the original game do these things, right? I'm sure the Toddy Hanser, I'm sure that's going to take more processing. So they were trying to protect it.
Yeah.
It's not funny necessarily, though. Not necessarily. Yeah. You're messing around with the lighting. And, you know, they're just some ones and zeros here and there. Different angles.
I wonder if it's a stability issue. Like, they don't want to make something more unstable. It perhaps cause problems.
The other thing is that people don't realize is coding is kind of an art. Like, there's lots of ways that you can do... coding is logic-based, but there's lots of ways to get to the answer that you're looking for.
Right.
And you can have better or worse coders. It's not like something... You're not an assembly line maker. You have
but if
your
you're
own,
EA or Bethesda, you should have the top of the line, dude.
Well, true, but, you know...
Somebody's hiring this dude, though.
Somebody's, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Same thing like Ice Frog or whatever that guy's name is, you know, that made Dota the original. Like, there's just guys out in the world that are just making...
What's he do now? Do you know?
He was hired by, was it Valve or...
Like a game designer, probably?
He was hired by one of the MOBA guys. Yeah. I don't know if it was Valve to work on Dota 2 or what, but... All right, Bobby, what's your question in the news?
All right, so my news article that I chose was Steam. They're introducing a holds system to prevent fraud. They always seem to do this stuff around December, it seems. I wonder if this is a problematic time of year for them.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. But what they're doing is now if you make a trade with someone and somebody is getting stuff and another person is not, or the trade is heavily favored towards one person, then you either have to use a mobile authenticator that's been validated at least for a week, or you have to wait 3 days. Steam will hold the trade for 3 days and then it'll go through. Which, I don't know, I guess it's good that they're taking these precautions to prevent any fraud from going on, because there is a lot that happens, particularly with CSGO items. I know there's a lot of scams out there. Doesn't really affect me too much. I mean, if you know what to look for, it's pretty obvious, but I guess a lot of people are still falling for this. So they're trying to prevent it as much as they can. But my question is the authenticator, the mobile authenticator. I noticed Steam had this and I tried it out, because whenever I log into Steam from a different computer that it doesn't recognize, and I have to do the whole like email me a code thing, you know, the whole two-factor authentication.
Yep.
So I thought, hey, maybe the mobile thing will be a little bit easier. But then it said if you lose your phone and can't use it to activate, then it had something really weird on it. Like you have to provide a birth certificate or a driver's license and send it to Steam to verify your identity for you to be able to authenticate otherwise. And I was like, holy shit, you know, let's just stick with the email because I'll always have access to that. What if I lose my phone or something like that happens? So do you guys use any mobile authenticators? I know Blizzard has had one for the longest time. People used to use it all the time back in WoW.
I use Blizzard's, although I'm not using it right now, but I generally use it. I disconnected it when I stopped playing WoW because I didn't feel like my Hearthstone was
at risk.
Or whatever. So I don't currently use any, but I've looked into the Steam one. I don't feel like I'm a high threat to get mine taken from me, so I haven't really spent a whole lot of time. But I don't have a problem with it. I never lose my phone. I'm usually pretty good with that stuff, so I'm not worried about that. So I would sign up for it.
So it's basically just adding that phone number to your account.
No.
It's not even a phone number. It's the actual phone.
It's an app, right? That you have to enter in the digits.
Yeah, it's integrated within the Steam app. You activate it through the Steam app. So when you log in from a different computer and it recognizes this, then it'll send a code to your phone and then you
enter that. I think every time you log in, you're going to have to... I mean, that's how Blizzard works. I don't know.
That was how Blizzard worked.
Every time
I think
you
this
log
is
in.
Different. This is just for trades and other things, not just logging in.
Yeah, I feel this is for bigger people that are trading a
like
lot.
In the top 50 on the ranked list.
Yeah,
like Bobby is.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay away from this one for now. Yeah.
Well, the only reason that it would affect me is because I do a lot of trades on what is that website? Steam Card Exchange or something like that. SteamExchange.net, which is a place where it's an automatic trading system or automated trading system. It's a bot that you can just trade for. And each card has a specific value. You look up what the value is of your cards and the cards you want. You make the trade and it's got all these rules and stipulations. Like you can earn credit if the values don't match up correctly. Anyway, I have a ton of extra cards and I always trade through this website. And
you don't just put them up on the Steam Marketplace?
No, I could. And I could sell them and make nickels and dimes back. But it's much better for me if I've got a system.
Okay.
One of these days, I keep meaning to make a new YouTube video on like how to level up your Steam account quickly and efficiently so you get the most XP per dollar. But it does involve me using this website a lot and trading extra cards for ones that I need. So it may affect that.
Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it. That's all I got on that one.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
So let's talk about some video games.
Yep.
The big story this week for us is Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition X++ Superpowered. They just came out. This came out a couple months ago, I want to say. I covered it when it came out, but it kind of sat on the shelf for a little bit. Bobby and I had some time, so we jumped in. Bob, was it? Well, I'll say the first thing that I noticed right away off the bat is everything is voice acted now. And I like that quite a bit. It drove me into the story more. It makes it more... Top-down games are already unrealistic. So to have voice acting kind of draws you in a little more. And there's so much reading in this game that it really helps out.
Yeah, there's a lot of text.
What were your first impressions?
Well, the first thing I noticed was that it's an entirely separate game. I thought this was just going to be a big update, a big patch to the original. It's actually its own game, and the game is 9.3 gigs was the install file compared to the original Divinity Original Sin, which was 15 gigs, I want to say.
Are you, so this is more story? They already had 80 hours worth of story, and they're adding another.
No, this story. Is not, like I just said, it's not a whole, it's not a patch or an addition to it. This is its own entire game. It is listed as a separate thing inside of Steam, even. And it's 9 gigs compared to what the original Sin was, and that was, it was like 15 or maybe above 20. It was a huge game, but somehow this new enhanced edition is smaller and better. Yeah. I did not notice the graphics being any better. The voice acting was a nice touch, although I'm a little disappointed they changed some of the voices of some characters, particularly the cheese vendor.
Why would they change my name?
So the cheese vendor isn't there. Let's get
no,
to
no,
the
no, he's there. There. But he just sounds a little different. I don't like it. He's not.
He's got a little gruffier voice.
Yeah, he sounds like they got a little older of a voice actor. He doesn't really hit the... the accent's just right. You know, it's not.
Is your cheese vendor video still up on YouTube?
Oh yeah, it's out there. It's actually got quite a bit of views too. Okay. Yeah,
if you don't know what we're talking about, what's it called? What's the?
It's video? Just called Divinity Original Sin Cheese Vendor.
DL Gaming.
Yeah. Check it out.
Because in this game, you spend a lot of time in a town called Cecile, and in the middle of this town is a marketplace, and there's people running little shops that constantly call out and advertise their product, one of which is a cheese vendor who has some real catchy sales phrases that he tries to lure you into his cheese shop with.
Getting lured into the cheese shop.
Yeah.
That'll happen once.
Yeah, but I do miss that. I was a little disappointed that some of the things that I really didn't like about the game weren't fixed. First of all, I love the game. It's probably in my top five of all time. It's an amazing game. It's, to me, it's World of Warcraft single player. It's just an amazing game. But
you have to be in the turn-based.
I was there too. What? Single player. I was there too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is multiplayer, but it's not an MMO, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
It's not.
You don't really count because you weren't doing very well. I walked in and you like died literally 30 seconds after I walked in.
I was
in.
Playing like shit today. Total shit.
Yeah. I walked in the first before. Hey, you've been gone for 3 days. What's going on? The first thing I hear is, "Ah, shit! I misclicked."
Well, and that's the big problem with this game is the misclicks. When you target somebody, you click on them, which sounds easy enough to do, but if you just perchance click in just a centimeter over, instead of attacking a person from a range, which as a mage or a hunter you want to do and keep a safe distance, you will instead run right up next to them and put your face right in their face.
I'm fairly certain, though, you can hold some button down like shift to prevent yourself from moving, right? Like, that's a standard option.
I don't think so in
this
game.
In games like this.
Well, there is if you're going to auto-attack from range. That'll work.
I haven't tried that. That might work. But that's usually in a game where... not a turn-based game. I've seen that in other games. But the problem with that is that sometimes the characters, the person that you're trying to target, moves. Like, they have kind of like a sway to them when they're standing. And I've noticed some characters, like there are these zombies that are basically half people. You know, they're just from the torso up. They're crawling on the ground. They're extremely difficult to target. And it's not just like a little... You know, I help people with computers all day, and they're, you know, they have their issues with using mice and keyboards and stuff that I think are a little, you know, ridiculous. It's like, come on, just learn how to use it. But this is not that. I did all the little tricks. I zoomed in. I changed the camera angle. I did absolutely everything so I could click on this fucking guy, and I still could not. Like, it was like, you kind of have to time it right. It's like target, not target. Target, untarget.
Yeah, you can be on it. And not move the mouse, and it'll target another.
Yeah, you just don't move the mouse at all. So that was really annoying, and that was something in the original game that I found very annoying. But there are a lot of things that they did, I don't want to say fix, but improve. It's like they took the top 100 mods for the game and just put them in the game.
Pretty much. Over 10,000 enhancements or something crazy. Yeah. Just like a small little thing. If I didn't have a shovel and he had a shovel, but I needed to dig on something, it would automatically just
give you the shovel.
Give me the shovel. Not that that's a giant thing, but imagine probably 50 of those things.
That's a good example because it's a thousand things like that that they did fix that just made the game a lot more enjoyable. But an already great game that's even better.
And it's free for if you already bought it.
Yeah,
it's
if you already
crazy.
Got the game.
I would now, like, reseeing this, I would have definitely paid $5-$10 for this.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for Divinity Original Sin 2. I know one of the things they're going to be doing is native support for four players, which will be really cool. I mean, this is a great game. Yeah. We're doing it. We had to start a new playthrough, which was unfortunate, but we're doing it a little different this time, where we only have two characters as opposed to four characters, and each of us controlling two. I don't know. How do you like that compared to the other?
You couldn't do that last time, right?
No, you could.
No, you could. There's a perk called Lone Wolf, where you become stronger. Right. And Bob wanted me to mix that with Glass Cannon. They're incompatible with each other. I don't like it because there's only two of us. There's only two targets. If there's six of them, six people get targeted. You can't really spread out the damage as much. The odds are that the same two guys are going to get hit over.
Because the AI isn't smart and will target a wide range of guys instead of just picking on one until they're dead.
Yeah, I think
there's an aggro system. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
So
it is more difficult that way, I will admit, but I do like it more because it's a lot less of the stuff that I don't like in the game, like managing inventory, dealing with the character sheet and the upgrades and all that stuff. A lot less of the maintenance work and a lot more of just like, let's jump into the action.
For sure.
Cool.
I don't know if it's going to work out, though. I feel like at our skill level, we should have been able to get through these fights that we're losing at. But then again, I was playing like shit.
So let me just ask some questions. So if you own the original game, you get this for free, yeah. Right? Yes. If you don't own the original game, does it cost money to get this one? Or do you just buy the original and then you get this one?
Wait. Do they even sell the original anymore? I'm going to look that
probably
up.
Not. But they must be because you installed it today.
Yeah, but there's a difference between it being for sale in the store and being in your library.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. And then...
Oh, well, let me preface it, too. I think you will lose your saves.
Oh, yeah, so, you will. I noticed on mine that I lost mine.
Oh, that's kind of shitty, though.
Yeah, it's really shitty.
Yeah, that does suck.
So
it looks like Divinity Original Sin is still here on the Steam store page, but is this the enhanced? No, it's Game of the Year. Let me see if there's another entry for Enhanced Edition. Yeah, there it is, Enhanced Edition.
I'm telling you about it. I'm pretty sure.
And it's $20-$30?
$29.99.
But that's the sale price. It's originally... Yeah,
originally $40.
$40?
Did anybody do a comparison video between the graphics? I feel like this was a lot crisper.
I don't know. I'm sure there's one out there, but I really did not notice a difference.
Do a cheese vendor comparison.
Yeah. I want a side-by-side comparison of just the audio. Oh, God. All right, what else are we talking about? So I didn't play that game at all, obviously. I had fun when the three of us played it, but it's so slow-paced because it's turn-based.
It is, and we streamed some of this, and it is not the game you want to watch on a stream.
Oh, yeah.
Especially where we were.
I mean, if you guys were funny, that'd be one thing, but you guys are both boring, and then the game is
we couldn't even
hype
that up. But the problem, well, not really a problem, but one thing I didn't like about the game is that they send you off on this little, it's actually an optional mission where you can run through this cave and you fight a boss, and it's a good little introductory thing.
This is like on the base game, right?
It's on both games. Okay. Games. Yeah, the very first thing that you
do. The game itself doesn't change much.
Yeah.
There's no new area.
Yeah, all the content's the same.
All the content's the same.
But after you do this optional little intro quest, you go into the town, and then you're basically running around the town for 2-3 hours, just getting quests, talking to people, a lot of text, just doing that until you actually start getting into some fights and going outdoors. I mean, I guess you don't necessarily have to do that, but if you want to actually play the game, get the quests, and, do the missions, then you kind of have to. So there's this really big period at the beginning of the game where you're just running around town doing boring stuff, in my opinion.
The ice monster?
The big tree. Oh, yeah, we're not nowhere near that. We're hours and hours and hours from
that's going to be a fun one.
But today what happened was this guy shot a poison arrow at us, and we're in a gas cloud, and we're discussing how we're going to deal with this. Then the next archer goes, and he has a fire arrow, and he blows up all the fire. And then we're all like crispy, we're brown and there's still green gook from the poison. And then we're like, huh? I think we're better off, right? Like, we just have Jeff. He's like, yeah, I think this is better than being in a gas cloud, but we're still on fire.
Well, there were some enemies there right next to us, and I think he did more damage to those enemies than he did to us.
Yeah. That's funny.
But those are just some of the little things that can happen in this game. It's all about elements and logic that you don't... it's out-of-the-box thinking. It's really great.
Yeah. A lot of spells interacting with each other. Kind of like Magicka, but... it's nice to see that level of detail in a game.
So let's talk about some brand new games. So Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Chad and I have been playing this like crazy.
What level are you now?
I think I was 17 last week when we recorded. And then this week, at least 25, maybe. So, at least 25.
Okay, so I'm still ahead of you, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm 28.
So the things that have stood out to me this week were I finally got into the power armor, but I'm so into it now. Like, I went from not using it. I'm like, why would I ever want to use this?
And I was like, you're being silly for not using
it. Yeah, because I'm coasting through this game. Like, I'm not having any issues.
And you're doing hard mode.
I'm doing hard. I'm thinking about going to, especially now with the power armor, I think I'm going to go to very hard.
Well, because so you found a strategy that is just working for you in far as combat's concerned, right?
I have gun modding to level 3, and I have single shot assault rifle maxed out. So those combinations. So I have probably the best rifle that I can build right now possible, and I have that maxed out, and I have infinite ammo for it. So it just does fucking shit tons of damage.
You're saying you're like two-shotting things on hard mode.
Yeah, most things. Like, ghouls are one-shot, raiders are one-shot.
But legendaries are still like five or six shots.
Yeah, five or six shots. Not crazy.
But you don't have a 50 cal either.
No.
Because I have a 50 cal sniper rifle, and that thing trucks through people.
Yeah, but then you have to wait. It's a bolt action, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. This is auto. And it holds 20 rounds.
It's not auto. 40. It's single click, right?
Yeah, single, but it holds 40.
Yeah.
Semi-auto. It holds 40 rounds, so I could kill, like, I can go through a whole fight without reloading. So that's another thing that really helps. And that, you know, those were all modifications, putting on the big magazine, putting on the recoil and all that stuff. But anyway, the power armor. So if you go to my shop, my power armor shop, I have 4 skeletons and they're all standing there. And like, it really looks like a dude that works on fucking power armor. Like, I got parts laying around over here, and I was just thinking that now I have to start going down strength to get blacksmithing and armor.
Yeah.
Right? They're pretty short in the strength line. So I'm going to do that just so I can start working on this power armor more. And I was just thinking, like, if this was reality, I would have stumbled upon this power armor and then had to go acquire the knowledge to work on it better. And then my dick just got harder about the whole thing. I was like, oh, that's so dope.
It's funny because, you know, we're basically playing two different games because we're doing different options and everything. So like I said, I'm going down the Brotherhood line. But like one of the first, not the first thing, but when you actually get into the Brotherhood line, they give you a badass power armor set. And all the power armor pieces that I find around there, this one blows them away. It's a boss 2, something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Like everything I'm finding is not as good as the stuff I'm getting.
I found the P50, the P51, and the P60. And the P60 is the best one, but I didn't go down this quest line. So, yeah, maybe that is the best one.
Yeah, so as far as my Fallout experiences, honestly, like, this has been a really short week for me. I haven't had a chance to play a whole lot. Nothing really. I'm just going through the quests. I'm actually trying to get through some of the main quests. Mm-hmm. I'm much farther in the main quest than you are. Because I figure I can go through the main quest and beat the game and then just keep playing, right? Like, it's like Skyrim,
but you want to, though. That's the one thing. You might be burnt out by then.
Yeah, but I want to get to the end of the game. I feel like I'm going to burn out before I get to the end of the game if I don't start. Yeah. What level... I don't play these type of games. I haven't played Fallout. I haven't played Skyrim. I'm level 28. Can I get to the end of the game with 28? Or do I need to keep leveling up? Like,
I think I beat Skyrim at like 32 or something like that. But like I said, the game scales to you. But there is a minimum of how... So
Because even though it scales to you, you're getting perks like plus damage and all. Like, you need those perks to get through the game, right?
Do you really beat the game in Skyrim? Do, like, the credits roll? Or...
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, 35 in that game. I haven't played it in forever. But I just got... I couldn't even tell what the main quest line was after a while.
It's highlighted. There's a way to tell.
They weren't very clear.
Well, you got to be able to click on your mouse accurately.
All right, what did you play, Bobby, this week?
You know, I've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm.
What?
Get out of here.
What's this game, Heroes of the Storm, and how do you play it?
They had a big sale this week. Everything was on sale.
And everything was good.
Yeah, so, you know, and I have this rule about...
spending as much money as I can on video games.
Well, I only buy...
Is that your rule?
I only buy stuff if it's on sale. And so everything went on sale, so I bought everything.
Oh, no. How much did you spend?
I'll have to check my bank account and see how that played out.
So are you asking us for money? Is this the roundabout way that you need rent money?
So we're introducing Patreon to the Classic Podcast.
But if you want to donate to Bobby's Heroes of the Storm Fund.
HOS.com.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot more Hero League. And I really enjoy the more competitive games because you get people who play a lot better and really are trying to win. And you just get better quality games out of that.
What rank are you?
Rank 5.
That's not as good as some of our other listeners.
Oh, yeah.
FYI.
Well, you know what some people do? I'm going to name names. But some people will play their placement games and then they'll play a few games and they'll get a high rank and then they'll stop playing and never play another Hero League game again and just ride on the coattails of a singular achievement. No. At Smite, I'm undefeated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. You already played like 3 games.
Oh, yeah. But,
specifically
did what he just did. Yeah, exactly.
You can't say like 3 games. In Heroes, you have to play at least 20 before you even get a rank, before they tell you what rank you are. But along with playing these Hero League games comes a little more hostility. So I took a screenshot today of a gentleman who was apparently really...
Very happy about you?
Oh, yeah. And this was someone on the other team. And I thought, you know, maybe this could be like a reoccurring theme on the podcast. If we don't play a whole lot of PvP online games. Yeah. But, you know, this always happens online. You get people who talk shit. You know, I'm old and I pay a mortgage, so I'm not affected by any of this.
I want to see this.
All right. So I will read this.
Oh, whispers.
This is... Whispers.
Yeah.
You can't talk in game. So
no. He whispered me after the game. This guy was from the other team.
Are you going to call out his name so we can?
Oh yeah, his name is Wriggly Booch. So, okay, you know he's
Wriggly Booch.
Yeah. All right. He says, "Wow, my team was bad. Did you see how many times KT whiffed? No frontline, so there was not a lot I could do. Still outlaned you though. LOL." To which I replied, "LOL, cool, bro." He continues. "Just saying, individually, not close, team-wise, you got it handed to you." And then I responded, "Whatever makes you feel better."
That wasn't bad at all.
And I was actually intrigued by...
Wriggly Booze?
Yeah, well, by the way that he phrased this, you know, it wasn't just the usual shit talking from a young kid. This guy might have been older. But the game that we had played... First of all, I was playing Gazlo because I was trying to level up Gazlo. Gazlo is kind of regarded as the worst hero in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, because his bombs take literally 5 seconds to blow up.
Well, he's a laning hero in a game that does not have a laning phase. So, and at BlizzCon, they talked about how they're totally going to rework him. They've got some new idea. They're like completely redoing this character,
which they've never done, right?
He's a specialist.
Yeah, so why level him up now? Wait for the redo.
Yeah, I had him close to level 10. But anyway, this other guy was playing.
You've leveled him up to level 10?
I have
shit.
All my characters at 9, and I'm working on getting them to 10 now, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Is that how you do it? 1, 1, 1, 1, 1?
Well,
1?
Getting from 9 to 10 is quite an ordeal. Like, getting 1 to 9 is probably easier than getting from 9 to 10. Yeah, but this guy was playing Sergeant Hammer, which is not really a terrible character, but like a very... situational, unique character. Like, he's not the guy you queue up with typically, But I was just like, dude, who gives a fuck? And first of all, like, we were playing this game, and I had no idea, like, this guy and I had some little vendetta going on or something. Like, I was completely unaware.
He was playing one versus one, and you were playing five versus
this
five.
This was going to war. Yeah. You were playing a storm on a Sunday.
The funny thing about Gaslow is, like, when I play this guy, I just don't give a shit. Like, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm Gaslow. And I'm, like doing...
Seems like a lot of excuses.
Yeah, it is a lot of excuses.
Well, no, and I didn't really do that bad. Neither did he. I mean, he played well. But, like, I don't understand, like, where this came from. So I was very surprised that he singled me out and sent me these private messages to me. And it just, I don't know, I hate when people blame their teammates, because I was watching a streamer the other day play this game, because you learn a lot from that. And he was saying, and I totally agree with him, like, you got to stop blaming your teammates. If you want to get better at this game, you got to think, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
You know, how can I improve? Don't just say, well, this guy should have been here and they should have been doing that. I mean, that attitude's going to get you nowhere. So I've been trying to be real zen, although it's hard sometimes. I've been trying to be real zen about my MOBA gameplay.
Dry Bear always brings
same
it
thing.
Up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's like, okay, take your teammates out of it. They are a factor you can't control, and say, what can I do? What can I do to get better? And I think that applies in life, honestly.
Yeah, it does. It definitely really does. And that's the only wisdom you come with being old as fuck like we are. But, you know, that is like the complete opposite attitude of everybody playing MOBAs, I feel. Like, everybody is just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm glad they give you the option of just turning the chat off entirely in Heroes, which I used to do, but not so much anymore, because I play a lot of Hero League, and there, you know, is some occasional, like, good information there that you need.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe, you know, I took a screenshot the last time this happened, although that wasn't very good either. It was when we were playing, what was that game with the polygons, and I was doing real good with the ninja sword guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Minimum?
Minimum.
Minimum, yes. Oh,
cool.
Yeah, some guy called me out there.
Yeah, I remember that
one. And, you know, I really wish the best time that this ever happened was back in, like, 2007 in the peak of World of Warcraft. And I didn't, I took a screenshot, but this is like computers and computers ago. This is before Google Drive.
Before cloud that you could upload it.
So I don't have this anymore, but I used to play, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, a paladin. And I used to have what they call a twink, where you would deck out a low level character to be really good in the PvP battlegrounds. But I made this paladin. He was a flag carrier. He was extremely tanky. And he had absolutely everything that he could need to have the most hit points. I had like 4,500 hit points on this guy for a level 39, which was a lot back in the day. I have no idea what the meta is now. But anyway, I would go into Arathi Basin, and I would play, and I would kind of troll the team.
Was it Arathi Basin or Warsong Gulch? Because you're a
Oh, that
character.
Was a... Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
My bad.
Warsong Gulch. Yeah.
He's prefacing this with... I used to troll a little bit. He's about to explain somebody raging on him, but he's prefacing it with, I used to troll a little bit.
Okay, well, no, I can see why this happened. You know, right? Because
you don't understand why this guy wanted to kill me.
In World of Warcraft, you can do things like type slash clap and then the person's name, and then it will read on the bottom of the screen, you know, Digi claps for, you know, whoever, whatever character I have. Targeted.
They do emotes towards people.
Exactly.
You can't talk to the other team, but you can emote.
But you can emote people. Yeah. So, and one of the, you can customize this. So,
yeah, slash E.
You can type in your custom emote. And one of the ones I did, all it was a greater than sign. So it just said Digi greater than, and then whoever I had targeted.
So
I would run around and I would have people that would chase me clear across the map, just up and down through the house, over, you know, just going on for full minutes. And then I would spam this, like, greater than you while they're chasing me.
God, I hate you already.
You know that this Jigglypooch or whatever.
Wrigglypooch.
Yeah. That's your former self back then when you were playing WoW.
Karma working its way around.
By the way, in World of Warcraft, for some reason, I hate PvP. I don't want a PvP. I want a PvE. But I used to love joining on PvP servers because the threat of PvP was a fun mechanic for me. You know, like... having to avoid people to do my PvE, because I felt so cupcake being on a PvE server where you could just, you know, hump the other team and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I would get so pissed. I'd be like level, you know, 34, and this level 80 comes by, kills you in one shot, and then spits on you, does the spit emote. Yeah. And I'm like, motherfucker, you can kill me, but why you gotta spit on my corpse? Come on now.
Yeah.
Why you gotta do that? That's just rude. You rude.
Because she's greater than you.
Yeah, seriously. If you had done the greater one, I would have logged on to my other character, probably died to him anyways on my level 80 guy, because I'm not good at PvP, but that's beside the point.
No, I wasn't the original one to come up with this, but I did copy this. I was a hunter. I tamed a bat, and I named the bat a bat, and then I put it in the forest where the level one people are, and then I put, and this is on PvP, right?
No, PvE, because they attack your pet.
Yeah, they attack my pet,
and then make some
with aggro, right? And no, I was never won on a PvE, or
no,
but it was in the zone. You can't attack newbies. It protected them from level 50s. So they would attack my pet, and then they're like, what's going on over here?
It's way harder than you think.
Yeah, but it would be a level 1 bat, so they wouldn't be able to kill it right away.
Okay.
So that I'd be long enough to do a steady shot, which is the hardest one hit that I could do. 1,150 damage.
They have no idea what's
What's going on. My cousin said this game was fun.
What a jerk.
I know.
You guys are both jerks.
We've all been there.
All right.
Anyway, so that's my exciting week.
One last thing on Fallout 4. Have you just come across crazy fucking battles going on their own?
Yeah, you hear them off in the distance?
Yeah. And then
I don't usually head towards them. Because what happens? I kill 5 things. And, you know,
you get to loot everything that's died.
Yeah, but I feel like it's lost its appeal as a loot pinata Fallout has, because there's no chance of getting those super crazy items unless I kill a legendary.
Which legendaries can be involved in those.
I know, but the chance of it, you get a much higher chance going into your quests and going into areas.
This is why you need ammo and I don't, I think.
I don't need ammo. What I do, there's so many different ammo types that I'm going to run out of one ammo, but I'm going to switch to a weapon that has a bunch of ammo. Like right now, my 50 cal sniper rifle has over 800 ammo.
Right.
And those are those giant single shot ones. So I just switched to a weapon that has a lot of ammo.
There's a mechanic going on in this game. It's new, where I think NPCs are drawn to the sound of gunfire. So you can be in a gunfight and a new faction will show up.
Yeah, happened to me.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's really cool.
Early on in the game, I was trying to kill these elite level ghouls. And I'm like running around. Back then, I was using the drone. What is he called? I forget his name.
Cogsworth.
Cogsworth trying to fight these guys, but he's about to go down. I'm trying to shoot this legendary level ghoul that's just fucking owning him. Finally kill the dude. All of a sudden, like, fucking 3-4 rebels are shooting me from the back.
Yep.
Because I think they were just drawn to the
gunfire.
The gunfire killed me.
It really adds to the immersion. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So, great game, by the way. Battlefront, you played it today?
Well, so...
Or last week.
I have it on console, so a buddy of mine came over. He's like, hey, let's play some games on console. So I booted up Battlefront. We did a little split screen action. So I was having a blast. I just wanted to call out. We did the wave game. So we did it. It's offline. The two of us are playing, and it gets progressively harder and harder waves. And there's 15 waves altogether. You try to survive through the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to highlight this. Our buddy Jason was a gamer back in the day. He and I played as much as we did.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he lost everything.
Oh, he's like, yeah.
He's asking me, I'm like, head to the pod. He's like, where's the pod at? I'm like, dude, look at your mini map. He's like, where's the mini map? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, look at your screen. You've got half of it. Look at your screen. You see where the mini map is? I thought it was funny.
A lot
funny.
Of things, like, are new, though, I think. Mini maps probably weren't even around when you...
I don't know, like... You know?
Depends on how long it's been.
It's been a while. I was kicking his ass with Street Fighter.
I think it's funny how I think of it like, once a gamer, always a gamer. And that's not the case. Like, people lose it just like everything else in life.
Yeah, it's not like riding a bike.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Well, a lot changes with games. Controllers, just, you know, yeah, controls.
And that's a tough thing with girls trying to jump in to, oh, let me try this out with you. We've been playing games for fucking 20 years.
Yeah, like, and all this stuff is conditioned.
You can't be on my level. It's impossible.
Like, I automatically look at the mini-map. If something comes up, I'm looking at the mini-map to find out where it is.
You're almost not even looking at it. It's almost, for me, it's peripheral vision almost. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just automatic.
And, like, he's like, where's the enemies at? I'm like, dude, like, you are literally playing a different game. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He's dying 3 times. I didn't die once in all the 15 waves. I'm like, dude, when your health is low, get the fuck out of the way.
That's me too. Like, he's never seen any of that, if you think about it.
Jesus. We're not that old.
1.6, the last thing he played.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right? Getting married, apparently, makes you lose all your ability to play video games.
I'm thinking more and more about picking this up, especially after seeing that mod.
Yeah, that mod makes me want to pick it up.
Not too. Just that, but people are having fun. There's thousands of people online playing, and I need something action-based right now.
I'm really turned off by the fact that it doesn't have a single-player campaign. I wanted to play some Star Wars single-player.
Everything's coming out, dude. There's so many games coming out.
Yeah.
Disney's going apeshit. There's like five games probably right now. Like, two of them are mobile, granted. But they're all coming out. A bunch of Star Wars stuff coming out.
So I assume there's going to come out a movie tie-in game, right? There's got to be a movie tie-in game.
I don't know.
Don't you think?
Are you going to say, Bob?
I was just saying the original Battlefront didn't have a single player, did it? It just never crossed me as a single player game. Like, it seems like they would have to make an entirely new game just to focus on that.
The graphics are definitely worthy of it.
But you said there's a wave survival mode. That actually interests me more than the PvP.
Yeah, you can do offline or online. You can do co-op or single one. And there's a bunch of different...
Is it on sale?
No, and I don't know how much it is on G2A, but I have a feeling based on Origins initial games in the past that this will be on sale probably, maybe by Christmas. I don't know. We'll see.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that,
I said on sale for $50.
Speaking of that, Black Friday was a couple days ago. Did you guys take advantage of any Black Friday sales for anything related to PC?
Most of those sales are 4 days, almost all of them.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting, but I am definitely going to take a look, a strong look, probably tomorrow.
I'm a little surprised Steam doesn't do that.
Steam has had a huge sale. They're having an exploration sale, which they do. They've done in the past, and it's usually around this time of year. And they have a lot of good deals on there, but I just know that if I buy something, I'm not going to play it. And you got the winter sale right around the corner, which things are going to be as cheap, if not cheaper. So
there might be discounts on things that are not, because it's too new right now. Like Fallout 4 might, I doubt it, maybe like 5% off.
Yeah.
On Christmas.
I saw an interesting article on PC Gamer that they basically built a gaming rig only buying Black Friday sale items. Mm-hmm. It was cool. Like, I think they built it for like $500 or something like that.
Yeah, who was that? Ex-flat picker. He was watching our stream, waiting for his parts to show up.
Really?
And they showed up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, as we were watching. So
that's awesome.
He's building a new rig.
That's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Shall we go to the news? Oh, we got a listener question, do we?
Bobby Gets Hard.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Gets Hard. Where?
There you go. Jeez.
Sorry. I was excited about Bobby getting hard.
I'm not on board with that intro. Just going on record.
Okay. Give us a better one. We'll switch to it. But as of right now, it's supposed to be Bobby Talks Hard.
Bobby Gets Hard.
You did the original Bobby Talks Hard.
It's Bobby Gets Hard.
Okay, Bobby Gets Hard. Where?
Okay. All right, so today we've been talking about a lot of settings in your graphics options in video games. And last week I mentioned I want to talk a little bit about lighting. And there's a lot of different things in lighting, but the particular one I want to talk about is Ambient. I like that. I was going to say Amblin Entertainment, but
Ambient is when lighting puts you to sleep.
Yeah.
Or Amble.
That was an ambient joke.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, there we go. Ambient occlusion. Now, that is a big, long, complicated word for shadows.
Wow.
That's pretty much all it is. It adds shadows to video games. But there's different kinds of settings with ambient occlusion. I think it's the L in occlusion that makes me want to say Amblyant.
Say AO from now.
Well, you'll see this in games in the graphics settings as SSAO or possibly SSDO. SSAO was the first iteration of it. Like I said, basically this just adds shadows to video games, which surprisingly does a lot more for a game's, I want to say realism. I'm going to show you, not necessarily immersion, but it just, there's a difference when you see something and you can tell like, oh, that is a house in a video game. But then you see something and you say that looks like a more realistic house in a video game. I'm going to show you some pictures, some before and afters from Skyrim. There's a great YouTube video on this. Ooh. And you'll see the actual difference.
Are you going to share this with the listeners?
YouTube? Yeah, I'll name the YouTube link so they can look up. If you just look up Skyrim Ambient Occlusion, it's the first thing that shows up. It's a great video that'll highlight this. But this first came about, first of all, ambient occlusion, like I said, is lighting and shadows and the way light, like global light reflects if there's objects in the room. Hmm. You know, if you have something in front of something else, there's going to be a shadow on it. It's going to be darker. Like the creases of something is going to be darker. Like on the couch over there, the creases are dark.
Oh, gotcha.
I couldn't believe it. When I put it on Skyrim, there was a mod that came out that like really bumps this up. Mm-hmm. And I was downstairs and I could see the streams of light coming through the floorboards from upstairs. I was like, oh my God, that is amazing.
Lighting does so much for games.
That's true.
They first came out with this before I talk about that, the ideal way that this is done is called global illumination. That is the ideal setting. Global illumination is what they use in like all these Pixar movies, and that takes an incredible amount of processing power to do that. And there's no way that you can do that in real time in a game yet. All that shit's got to be pre-rendered for these movies by supercomputers. But global or ambient occlusion is what they put in games, and there's two versions of that: SSAO and SSDO. SSDO being the better one.
Does that stand for something?
Space something ambient occlusion. Space.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Space something.
Yeah, something with space. But SSAO, I think, was first in the original Crysis. And as you remember, that game was friggin' beautiful.
Yeah.
Like nothing, back no video day. Card could run it.
Still to this day, it could probably stand up to a lot of things.
Yeah, it still looks great. But This isn't intensive on your CPU at all, although it does tax the GPU. But I'm not sure how much. It seemed to be different for different games, according to what I could look up. So it really depends on the game. And of course, you're not going to see this in 8-bit games or, you know, low resolution games. You know, anything that has any sort of 3D game, it might have this. But let me show you the Skyrim video, and then maybe you could kind of describe to the listeners what it looks like in your own words, if I'm not doing a good enough job here.
Okay. Just, so the ideal setting that you want is SSDO. SSDO is the better one?
SSDO, if they have that option.
Well, it's going to have one or the other.
Yeah, SSAO, if they have that. Sometimes, like in Heroes of the Storm, they just have ambient occlusion, and it's a checkbox. And that's usually what I see in games. It's just you want ambient occlusion on or off. And I always turn it on. It doesn't seem to impact performance that much. So, and you'll see
push
in these.
Play again.
Okay. Yeah, I'll play this while I'm talking. And you'll see in these pictures that I'm showing you right now, like the difference is noticeable, especially indoors, particularly in houses. We're seeing one in a forest. This one, notice the creases in the rocks and the logs. Like, it really adds a lot.
Okay.
I see depth. I would call it, I would explain it as depth.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's correct. But.
It makes it. Yeah, it feels like from a matte finish to more of a, like a,
you can see the
creases. How to describe that?
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of is I've had laser eye surgery. I got it done probably about 10 years ago. And I always tell people this story. It's funny. But they slice your pupil off and then they put it back on and like burn it on there. As soon as they slice it off and peel it back. And for that moment, I was blind. Everything was blurry. I couldn't see anything. The second they put it back,
fuck out.
Well, they give you a ton of Valium, so you know, I was cool. But as soon as they flip it and put it back on, immediately I could see more detail. I could see the lines and the creases in the doctor's face, like immediately, instantaneously. But that's what this reminds me of. It's like I see the little details in the cracks.
Yeah, it does seem like you're going from like it. It looks kind of like when you're messing with the with the high def television, and you have it on the default setting, and then you switch it over to something like the cinematic or whatever,
and
everything pops a little bit more.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, how you said not very taxing, but it's up to your game, I guess?
It depends on the game. It doesn't affect the CPU at all, which is good. But it does weigh on the graphics card. But I've never not turned this on any computer or any video card that I've gamed in.
So you're not sacrificing the AO. If you're sacrificing, if you need more frames, you're not turning off the AO.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to go somewhere else if you like lower the resolution or lower your anti-aliasing or something like that. It heavily impacts the performance. This, not nearly as much, although I can't say specifically how much.
Gotcha.
This is more like settings. Next week, let's get into some hardware.
Hardware. I don't know if there's any good hardware coming out. Well, AMD has
I like this,
recently.
Though. I've never...
The first one was fantastic.
I just put all the settings up and then it chugs at 12 frames a second. Then I turn them all off and then it goes at 60 frames a second and then I play.
Well, I think it's great what NVIDIA and AMD are doing in their software where it automatically sets the settings for you. It just says, what kind of graphics card do you have? Okay, good. And what game are you playing? Great. Okay, we'll set these settings. And there you go. The optimization or whatever they call it.
Yeah, on their NVIDIA experience or whatever they call it.
Yeah, GeForce experience. Yeah. And AMD has their equivalent.
As soon as I had downloaded GeForce Experience, I said, maybe I don't need Bobby anymore.
You thought about it.
Maybe.
And then he's like, but they can't play Divinity Original Sin for you, so you got to have Bobby there.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you die every 5 seconds, so Bobby's got to carry
I was
you.
Playing so bad.
Trust me, I saw. I walked in for 30 seconds, and then I walked away, because it was like watching a rape video.
Misclicks aside, I just... You made a few blunders there, which had me perplexed, like running head-on into the archers. I said, get behind the wall, and then you ran right at him. I'm like,
there was a small
Did you
wall.
Shout, I give my life for Allah, as you ran forward?
There was a small mound. Perhaps if there had been some ambient occlusion, then you could have seen the crease and noticed there wasn't a large wall there to protect you.
Second callback.
Yeah.
So, Binding of Isaac ARG wrapped up. I talked about it. I think I said that it wrapped up the second, but I know the exact what happened. So, somehow something.
ARG, what does that stand for?
Augmented reality game. So it's computer and real life.
Stuff in the computer hinted for stuff that occurred in real life.
And vice versa.
Which they had set up prior to this.
Right. So somebody got some coordinates. They dug a hole. There's a little statue of the Lost, which is, I believe, the newest character. He had a little note that said, give me a voice. And there was a little thing on there. So they made the Lost Twitter account. That was him getting his voice.
Okay.
And then these people, there was like 3 or 4 people, started tweeting the list of things that it said for him to tweet. And as they were tweeting that, people were answering the questions of what was being tweeted. And eventually they unlocked new content for the game and a new character, The Lost, I believe, or Greed. It might be Greed or The Lost, but either way, it's way further than I am right now. These fucking challenges are really setting me back. Anyway, great idea. More games should do things like this, but I think you need, you know, tens of thousands of players in order to even think about doing something like this.
Yeah.
Plague Inc., which is a game that I enjoyed
back in the day.
Yeah.
That's a mobile game too, right?
Not that far back. I think we've all played that one at this point, right?
Dude, I would say this game's 6, 7, 8 years old. Because I played it way back on, like, iPhone. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a mobile game.
Yeah, but it came to Steam maybe a couple years
ago. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think I've played this game. But you guys have talked about it for a while.
I've never beat this game once. I can never kill the global population once.
You're a terrible, evil...
virus.
Well, they start you off on the easy one. You weren't even able to do it on that.
I don't think so.
I'm sure you were able to.
So anyway.
You saw his divinity skills.
Well, again, there was probably no easy back then. This is just a
okay.
Game.
Yeah, it might have been different because they actually had kind of a campaign single player mode.
So now there's head to head PvP. So I imagine you probably on the same planet at the same time. Whoever can kill more is a guess. I don't know how it's going to work out, but Bob, you said that you were interested. You like this game, so maybe you check this out. Mm-hmm. And it's added to the regular game, so. And then
So the Steam controller, which none of us have bought yet, but I might think about buying one at some point here. They recently added new support for what they call mouse region support. So basically on your touch portions of the controller, you can now map either the full screen or portions of the screen to your touchpad. So for example, if you make it to be the whole screen, you can just basically move the mouse around anywhere you want on the full screen. So you can do things like
whatever, like an RTS.
Yeah, like an RTS or however you want to do it. You can map it, or you can just map it to just the mini map on like a MOBA or something. And so whenever you touch there, that would equate to the mini map on the screen.
Yeah.
So a lot of good things that could happen out of that.
Yeah, not just that, but I think maybe if you make your available spot just the center of your screen and you're playing a first-person shooter, it would be far more sensitive. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a smaller...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things you can do with it. Yeah. So they just recently added that support. The article I read, which was on Steamed, which is part of Kotaku, was really hyping it up. So,
well, here's the thing, too. The Steam controller, just like most Steam things, are open source. So people are going to be modding this thing like crazy, and it's only going to get better as it goes on.
Mm-hmm. True. Anything else going on?
What are we going to be playing next week?
Any plans? I guess I'll bring this up on the podcast. We're coming up on the end of the year. Are we looking to do end of the year best of games here? Coming up here?
We still have 4 weeks.
Out of the, 10 that I played?
Yeah. What I'm saying is it might take us a couple weeks to get all our ducks in a row since we're not the fastest.
Well, I already know mine. But.
It comes with the caveat that it's of the games that we played.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, there were some heavy hitters in there. I played Witcher 3 extensively, Fallout 4 extensively. You know, a lot of the things, the big games.
I haven't heard any word on the Game Awards. I was really impressed in the direction they went last year. And I'm hoping they'll continue that.
Yeah, the web only, right?
No, well, they did do it only on the web. They didn't. A lot of times it was sponsored by, what's that, VGV? What's that channel?
VGVA?
VGX? Well, they called it VGX, but I don't know. It was a Spike. Spike sponsored the Video Game Awards.
Yeah, that's right.
But the last 2 years, they've done it completely online. But last year particularly, it had a little more prestige to it. You know, it wasn't quite as goofy as the prior years. I really liked the way they went about it. And I'm hoping they do that again this year. And
I think keeping it off of TV made them beholden to less people so they don't have to run it like an old, shitty
ceremony. I feel like gaming, it's one of those things like, TV's run by 50-year-olds, and none of them are gamers, so how are they... Yeah.
But they still have quite a bit of sponsors, and even in last year's, even though they did make a lot of leaps and bounds forward, they still had way too much advertising, way too many, like, 2-3-minute trailers for video games, it just too many interruptions.
Was it on Twitch? Well,
It was being streamed from the website. I think it was on Steam as well. Steam had a sale to go along with it.
They need to do it on Twitch.
They were doing it in Vegas, too. I really want to look into that because I would have... Vegas isn't very far from where we're at. I probably would have gone.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
But we don't know if they're happening this year.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. But then again, I haven't even looked. So I will research that. We'll find out next week. I should be coming up soon in the next couple weeks.
So next week, I will be playing Fallout 4.
You're going to switch it up?
Yeah, but I'm going to mod it heavily. Probably whenever I play. Before I play
the dildo hand death clause?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
The dildo clause.
Dildo clause.
Yeah.
That sounds like a creepy Christmas-related dildo clause.
Oh, God.
I want to take a look. Bob, you're back to work next week?
Yep.
So I'm probably going to take a look at this Kentucky Road Derby or whatever.
Kentucky Route Zero.
It's on my family too. Share. If you want to.
It's supposed to be a really good game, and I think it is episodic. I'm pretty sure that it is.
Or maybe it was, and then now it's. Since it all came out,
I think it was episodic, but they released like chapter one, and then chapter two didn't come out till like a year, maybe more later, and then they're still waiting on chapter three. So it is very far.
Oh, it's not done.
Yeah, I don't think they have the final chapter. Or maybe they do, because I remember there being a little bit of buzz about it like a month or two ago. So maybe they did finish it.
Maybe we don't know anything about anything.
Because yeah. I don't like playing episodics as they come out. I like to binge watch it if you
will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm definitely a binger myself.
We should look into that.
Anything on your radar, Chuck?
Let's see. I'm going to play some Fallout. So here's the deal. I bought H1Z1.
Yeah, it was because cheap. $10, right?
Yeah, it was cheap. Because a buddy of mine has been playing the Battle Royale nonstop.
That does sound fun.
And having a blast. So in H1Z1, I forget how many people, 24 whatever, jump in. And then there's this circle that gets smaller and smaller. And if you're outside the circle, you take damage from, like, Poison Cloud.
Right.
So you got to stay in the circle, and you're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
But while staying in this circle,
right. That
gets smaller and smaller. And eventually it gets so small, you guys are just, like, really close to each other.
Right, right.
But still trying to kill each
other. How long are these matches?
They're quick. And you can...
10, 15 minutes?
From my understanding. So I bought this game, H1Z1, to play with my buddy. And we just haven't synced up yet on playing together. So if I can get synced up with my buddy, I'm going to play some H1Z1 now that I have it. And it's on Family Share, so I'm not sure if you can play
it. I might just buy it because it's still $10.
Yeah.
It's probably worth it. I saw Evolve was on sale for $16. I still didn't buy it, though.
Evolved?
Yeah.
You know, I saw that stuff Evolve, but I was like, fuck you.
They were going to pay me $5 to buy it, and I said, fuck that.
You know, Fat Susie offered me a blowjob, and I was like, no
thanks. No thank you.
I know all the guys you fucked over for $60.
Yeah. I also have the Assassin's Creed Syndicate that I bought. I have not played it because Fallout 4 is raping my life. So those are things that I will not do while I play Fallout 4 all week. So,
mm-hmm.
Bobby, let me guess. Well. I'm going to play some Heroes of the Storm. That's it. That's all I got.
I will be playing Heroes of the Storm. I went back. I stopped playing Legacy of the Void. I went back, finished Heart of the Swarm, and now I went back to Legacy of the Void. And it seems like Legacy of the Void is really long. Like it's going to take a minute. So I may try to wrap that up this week. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But I have really started to appreciate that game. And I thought, you know, I thought about playing a little more multiplayer. So I went to Twitch, watched a streamer. Maybe I'll pick up a few tips or something. I couldn't even keep up with what this guy was doing.
Right?
It was insane. I mean, this guy was competitive, super high ranked, like probably playing in BlizzCon competitions. Can't remember his name. But it was insane, dude. Like,
a lot of macros, though, going on there.
It must have been macros, because is that what they do? They program a keyboard with macros?
Yeah, to my knowledge. But although recently I saw a headline where they limited how much they can macro now. But yeah, most of that stuff is just things that you do all the time, mm-hmm. three button combinations.
Yeah, because there's a lot of those. You press, you press three to go to your base or whatever you have it bound to,
right.
And then you press like S to spawn a Zerg, or yeah, there's a lot of things like that, but just so many clicks on the keyboard, and I saw this guy's eyes darting all across screen, and then just him moving the mini map, and just so much happening. I couldn't even keep up. I didn't learn a damn thing from it, by the way.
Bob, do you have any macros that you use currently for any game?
No, I don't have a keyboard that really supports that. I did have a Razer keyboard that had macros, but I never really used it. Although I am looking at it's on sale for like $225 on Steam. It is a voice control for your game. It's software that lets you use voice commands to program macros for a game. I just think that's interesting. For $225, fuck yeah, I'll try it out.
What was that game with who's the dude from Star Trek? The young dude?
No, Wesley.
Wesley
Crusher. Yeah. Will Wheaton.
Yeah, didn't he have a game where it was Will Wheaton, but you played the game by talking to it? Do you guys remember that game?
I do not remember that game.
Oh, gosh.
I do know that he said that he was the only one on the bridge that had already assigned mentally what button does for each thing.
Yeah.
So when somebody called out a command, he would go through his protocol that he made himself, because there was no action. They didn't do anything, right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Good. So that's it?
Yeah. I think so. Oh, I wanted to add macros to TF2 because transforming as a spy is kind of tedious.
Oh, like, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 button combination, and you don't want to do the same one all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to do that, so maybe you can show me how.
Well, there's usually software for a keyboard, the keyboard that you can download. You have a Razer keyboard, right?
Yeah. No, not Razer. It's Logitech.
Oh, but it has macros.
It does have macros.
Is that the G19?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely the G19. I set up where you can right-click to scope in, and then you left-click to trigger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. And it works.
And then it's funny, because right after you hit 2 and then 1, you inevitably always miss.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I macroed...
2-1 miss.
I macroed the trigger and also the miss command. Simultaneously.
2-1 miss curse.
Yeah.
God damn it!
I've also, in RPGs, I've macroed the mouse wheel to zoom in and out of the camera to go from first to third person.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, no. Last time you macroed something, it was in the fucking Marvel Alliance game, and you were like, hey, man, can you go to my computer and run my macro... command.
That wasn't a macro. That was a mouse. What do you call it? It would move the mouse for you to click certain things at certain times.
Oh,
little side note. Do you get pissed off when they tell you to hold V to bring up your crafting in Fallout?
I hate the controls of Fallout.
Yeah, when you're like crafting something and you select something and then you have to select enter. You're neither of your hands are close to enter. Enter.
No, E works for enter. I just learned that, like,
really?
2 days ago. Yeah.
Why didn't they just call it E?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that.
Because, Bob, you're doing stuff with stuff over here, and you're doing stuff, and then it says push enter. And you're going like this. And you're like...
My dick isn't quite that long to push enter.
That's when you just face smash the keyboard and just tap it with your nose right there. That's what they're going for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I left my stream running the other night. Well, no. You guys left my stream running because... it's my fault. F1 is my turn on. It's way too easy.
Yeah.
So you're probably going for escape and you hit F1.
No, we didn't even bother to try to turn it off. We didn't know it was on.
Yeah, so it was on. And then I came home drunk as a skunk, took off all my clothes, and got in bed.
So that's on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. So, people were trying to warn me through Twitter. They're like, hey, man, he's going to get kicked from Twitter. I guess my bare ass was showing.
Please tell me one of our listeners... screenshotted.
Well, I'm sure they're beating off to it as we speak.
Yeah.
Now they can add the voice to the picture that they got. But Flying Hawaiian said that he went on there trying to like get my attention or whatever. But then he said that there was somebody steadily in there the whole time, creepily watching me. I think it was the same person that was sending emails to Bobby that was.
So you actually slept all night with your stream on?
Yeah.
And it's pointed towards your. It's pointed towards your bed. You can see your bed.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Did you wake up in the morning and clean the pipes?
I woke up several times and took a leak. And then, so my cock.
And you don't sleep with clothes on.
No, I'm completely naked. So then I sat down. This is hungover Emilio sits down and sees that big blue light. And I was just like, well, can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I hit F2.
Oh, man.
Oh, so you can watch our stream at VL Gaming.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, seriously.
VL Gaming DOT.net.
yeah. Finish it up. We're done here. Finish it up.
Check out our website, DLGaming.net. You can get our Twitter, our Steam group, which is our main hub of activity. It's all going down. You never know what you're going to see.
Hot webcam action.
Yeah.
Go to
$12.99 a month. You can watch bare ass.
We are so unprofessional.
We should set up our Patreons. Just go straight to Blizzard's account.
Yeah.
All right, speaking for Bobby, speaking for Chad, speaking for my bare ass, titties!